Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangaroos, Instagram Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I was joined by my Thursday regular, the lovely Siobhan Rowe, to go through our game coming up against the Adelaide Crows on Saturday. We had a lot to talk about. We talked about the recent effort of the team. Has it been up to scratch? The media scrutiny, Alistair Clarkson's press conference yesterday. There was no dramas with the recording tonight, so that came out straight away, which is always a bonus. So let's not waste any more of your valuable time and bring on Siobhan Rowe to talk about the Adelaide Crows game coming up on Saturday. So tonight, I welcome back Siobhan Rowe, my Thursday regular. And I had the boys on Tuesday evening, Siobhan, and we barely chatted about the game. I think we are going down a very slippery slope at the moment. And generally, when teams are this bad, then there are a lot of issues, not just one. One way to work on that during the game is effort. We are the lowest rated pressure team in the comp. Last week when the Hawks turned the pressure up in the second quarter, we crumbled, Siobhan, like a deck of cards. We aren't hard to break at the moment. I think that's what is hurting the supporters most at the moment is just the lack of effort, Siobhan.
Hi, Dean. Always a pleasure, even under these circumstances, to come on and chat a bit of North with you. Look, the weekend was grim. I really loved the discussion that you had with Frank, Jesse and Mark on Tuesday. And I hate coming on here and being negative, but after the weekend, I think a lot of the supporters, it was the final straw in regards to the optimism. I think not many people are going to be going into many of the games for the rest of the year hoping for a win or expecting a win, which in itself is incredibly frustrating and disappointing, because when you actually look at where we are as a football club, it's frightening, just the lows that we're at the moment and the fact that they're isn't much light at the end of the tunnel. For five seasons now, we've just been so poor. And there was a very interesting discussion the other night on AFL 360 about whether or not at this point in time, we're even just breaking things down like Melbourne did in their dark days to looking at percentage and then maybe putting a focus on contested ball. So stripping everything right back to the basics. Going back to your question, I mean, the question of effort is something that's really poignant at the moment, because the second quarter, I think we can all agree, was a complete disaster. And that's when Hawthorn just completely dominated in the game. We started okay and kicked the first two goals and then just got dominated. And the scary part of that is in the second quarter, we laid 10 tackles to Hawthorn's 24, and Hawthorn's pressure rating was 221. Ours was 159, so significantly less. But they had their hands on the ball the whole time, and they were the one kicking the goal. So how are we second to the ball doing the chasing, and yet we're significantly lower in the pressure rating and the tackles? It's quite staggering, and that goes down to effort and pressure, which is something that at this point in time and for this football club is a non-negotiable. I don't think anyone is expecting miracles, but I just think we are so down on belief and leadership, and everyone has lost their spunk and mojo that they aren't giving all of it, because maybe I know there was discussion on Tuesday about trust within the team, and maybe they're not trusting their other fellow leader or player to lay a tackle or to spoil or chase and harass. So they think, well, why am I going to do that when the bloke next to me isn't going to, and we're already 10 goals down or the game's already sliding away? So why am I going to put my body on the line or try and arrest the momentum? And no one at the moment is trying to arrest the momentum. Our leaders at the moment are non-existent and incredibly frustrating to watch, because the flow and effect for that is then the kids begin to just keep getting whacked around the ears and really struggle and have no belief in it. Right now, I think we're just at complete rock bottom with that sort of stuff. So I think I'm hoping that behind closed doors, the fundamentals are getting drilled home, as in if you're not applying pressure or tackling or giving 110% effort where you can look your fellow player in the eye at the end of the game and say, you know, today was a bad day, but I at least gave it my all, you shouldn't be playing in the side. But then it goes down to the other problem we have at the moment, which is the cupboard is just so bare in regards to talent and depth on this list that players that shouldn't be playing because they aren't giving everything they've got and more will keep playing because they have to. There is no choice for that. So there's a real thing with belief and spirit and confidence and trust. And I think at the moment some of the players that have been around for this 5-year mark where things have been really grim are probably just tired of it, and they're not giving everything they've got because they already can predict and feel the result that's coming. So it's a very long-winded answer and something I probably need to get my chest to start off with, but it should be a non-negotiable. It's not happening at the moment. That second quarter in particular was really depressing to watch as a supporter. And I sit on level one along the other side, the other North members, and I haven't felt a mood more frustrated or low for a long time amongst the supporter base compared to when we kicked the first two goals of the game. Things just, yeah, the momentum just never was arrested, and we know the end result. So, yeah, difficult watch.
Yeah, I mean, you've been following the team for about 10, 15 years. I've been following it for a lot longer. I grew up in the 90s in a different era. And we just don't see, you know, we talk about blue collar and the shin bone spirit. Even Alistair Clarkson said the other day, he talked about we're a blue collar club in the media conference. But we're just not seeing any shin bone spirit, are we? There's no spirit out there.
It's a great point. And I think the listeners might love to hear a bit about your experience and what you've seen, but in my short experience, I loved North and I really gravitated towards the club because of that. And there has been talk from some of our ex staff at North, funny enough, that things really deteriorated for our football club when the likes of Boomer and Drew and Michael Ferrito and the real club stalwarts left. And I don't know if there's any connection to when those sort of last fabric sort of players left the footy club. But I'd probably put Jack Siebel in that basket as well, in that it's the first year without him in the side. And I don't think last year we really questioned effort as much and spirit as much as we have this year, and whether there's a link to some of those players that have the true shinbone values that were instilled in them at this footy club, the absence of them maybe leaving a hole. But that goes back to the conversation again of the leaders, as in that our leaders now are leaders that have been around for a losing culture and an environment where they don't know anything but getting whacked around every week. So where are we going to find the next generation of players that are blue collar and have that shinbone spirit and have some form of winning culture or standards like that, if that's what's being bred into everybody that walks through the door? It's a solution that I don't know how we find it, and the solution is winning, but we're not doing that, and I feel like we're so far from that. So how does that get instilled? It's an interesting discussion point because it's an intangible. That's the thing. I hope they're training hard, but all reports the preseason was one of the best they've had at the club, and you know they all looked really fit and training hard and all of that. But we're not seeing it out on the field, and talk is pretty cheap at the moment when the results we're getting are what we're experiencing at the moment. So there's the idea that we bring more senior leaders from other clubs into the environment of North Melbourne, like we did with Liam Shields, topping up with a few more of those guys, whether that be in the mid-season draft or the end of the year for next season. But we're lacking that, and that's what's incredibly frustrating. And you've seen a lot more of the real, probably true shinbone spirit and environment like that in the 90s, but we're not seeing it at the moment, are we, Dean? And it's hard to know where we get it from.
No, it's not even just the 90s, even the 2000s with Danny Laidley. I thought, we were very much a blue-collar club, and he got the absolute maximum out of every player he could on the list. He was getting, players like Casey Green from West Coast, who had no talent. He was getting the best out of him. Daniel Harris played some really good football, worked really hard for him. I mean, obviously he had a bit of talent with Brent Harvey, but he got teams into the top four just through, getting the maximum out of each individual player. And at the moment, I question whether, leadership starts from the coach and the coaches, whether they've got that in them to get the best and the toughest out of these players. Now, I grew up in the 90s, and I think I spoke to you off the air about this, that I remember Anthony Stevens did his ACL, and, and the ball's coming in, he pushed the trainers away, similar to LDU the other day. I won't talk about his effort just yet, but yeah, and he stood under a ball with big-bodied Troy Wilson coming from behind and absolutely clobbered him, but he still took a mark or a free kick. And that's what a shin boner is, No matter what he does, even if he's got a broken leg, he'll, put his body in a line for his teammates. And we just don't see it enough, Siobhan. The media is all over it at the moment, which is not a bad thing, I think, because these players need to see it. Kane Corn singled LDU for what could only be described as insipid. There was no second, not even a first effort, really. And I think that's what's hurting the supporters the most at the moment is just the lack of effort. And, supporters like, are not as privileged and they can't afford memberships. They just scrape by, each week they work hard and, and they want to see their football club. They take their kids and their family to see a football club. They just want to see effort at the end of the day, and we're just not getting it at the moment. And that's what's really disappointing and hurting at the moment. And even the coach is sort of selling shit on the media that he's not even talking about effort. It's really disappointing at the moment, Siobhan. And, it's a long rant, but that's where we're at, aren't we?
Yeah, again, some great points made by you there, Dean, as well. And I think some of the things that were incredibly frustrating for the supporters, just the sense I got being at the game too. There were three instances that I wrote down is one of them was when the game more than likely was done and dusted. But I believe it was Dylan Moore from Hawthorn that kicked a snap around the corner and the ball could have been touched on the line because it wouldn't have made it wouldn't have gone through the goals if somebody was there.
Yeah.
But nobody was on the goal line. Nobody had gone back to try and stop that ball. That's not about anything to do with being young or inexperienced. That's a lack of awareness or a lack of or confusion or something like that. And it happened on numerous occasions as well where a Hawthorn player would take a mark and another player would be calling for the ball and do a sneaky and wheel around the player that had the ball and kick the goal. And it's like, where's the awareness to stay on your man or understanding of, okay, that player there is more than likely going to call for the handball and try and kick this goal. That player might not have the distancing in, whatever it might be. That's the sort of stuff that frustrates people the most because, again, that's not about being young, inexperienced, that's effort, that's intent, that's awareness when you're out on the ground. And a lot of it came from senior players as well too. So that sort of stuff's incredibly frustrating. And at the beginning of the year, I think we all knew that we'd lost a lot of experience in the likes of Cunnington, Zeeble, Goldstein, Mackay when they left. And we all probably acknowledged that was going to be difficult. Maybe that's a lot more difficult than we thought because, like you mentioned, those true rusted-on shinboners of the club are gone, and then you're left with the bones of the club right now, which is just it's a club that's been belted for 5 years, and the way out of it is winning, but we're just not able to do that. And I don't know how you turn this sort of stuff around because there's only so many times you can show vision of that. But then I think out on the ground, there was a lot of finger pointing and a lot of, stuff going on that, again, is not great vision to watch. And on numerous occasions, you saw younger players like Biggie Newen making mistakes and you had someone like Aiden Corr who was finger pointing and yelling at him. And it's like, well, I understand maybe he's made an error there, but why haven't you gone to cover that? And I think you mentioned on the podcast on Tuesday as well, that mismatch between Marvio Chol and Colby McKercher with a player like Bailey Scott, who's in the leadership, well, he's a leader, young leader of the club. How did he end up, you know, on a player like that? And then he gets outmarked. He gets down and out on himself. And then you, players that haven't been beaten down for 5 years and have just walked through the door, Dean, are now beating themselves up about, oh, you know, getting outmarked or let the team down, whatever it might be that's going through his mind. So it's really hard. And I think at the moment we're just going to have to strip this thing right back. No more North ball, no more weird game plan that whatever we're playing with at the moment. Let's focus on fundamentals like manning up or
just effort.
100%. I think, yeah, it looked like there was a lot of confusion out there on the weekend, and that looked like we were all at sea at times.
No, definitely. One player I want to talk to you about, and that's LDU. Why isn't he in the leadership group? He seems like he's probably one of our best players when he's on, but he's never been in the leadership group. He wasn't voted in by his peers. That's a whole other topic. I don't agree with that, but that doesn't matter. It seems a bit strange that a guy that's one of our best players, played 80-odd games, is not in the leadership group. I mean, I guess you probably won't know the exact answer, but what do you think anyway about that?
Yeah, it's a good question because I think you can be a leader without being in the leadership group. I think all of us are probably questioning the merit of that leadership group at the moment. We've discussed quite a few times on this podcast about the fact that the players vote for the leaders instead of the coaches, and whether or not that'll ever change, I'm not sure. But in the case of LDU, I think he's just going at the moment, and maybe there's a lot of pressure on him to perform because he clearly is one of the better midfielders on the list, and we know what he can do when he's at his explosive best. And it just seems at the moment that I don't think, and I could be wrong here, that he can look his fellow teammate in the eye and say, in every contest, every moment of the game, I've given everything I've got. I'm not sure why he's in the leadership group. Maybe he's one of those players where, you know, Todd Goldstein was rarely in North's leadership group, but he maybe led by example, where I think LDU might not be very vocal, but should be in this point in his career and time at the club, leading by example. But I think for him at the moment too, he's not getting a lot of help in there. He's probably the one that's shouldering a very heavy load. And he's probably thinking like, come on, guys, like, help me out a little bit. He's probably feeling just as frustrated as all of us. I'm not making any excuses because his performance so far have been subpar and not to the standard that we expect from him. But I think the problem at this club as well is that a lot of players get their growth stunted for some very strange reason. It's like they look like they're about to take off and really grab the competition or our club at least by storm. And then something happens. It's like they regress or they don't quite hit the next element of their career. And depends on how you value Mark Robinson's opinion, but he had him as one of the top 20 players in the competition at the start of the year. And at the moment, he's certainly not playing like that. But then you could argue that, you know, Nick Larkey was an All-Australian last year, and at the moment he's treading water because we just don't have help around for him either. So the top liners on our list are probably thinking at the moment, like, I just need someone to come with me or relieve a bit of pressure from me. But that also doesn't excuse some of his lack of effort as it looks on the TV or lack of care at times to really hunt and win the ball back for the side. He's coasting, and I'm sure when you look at his numbers, it looks good, but he's certainly not playing to, I think, his full potential at the moment. But some of that's not just on Luke Davies-Uniac. I think that's on the rest of the team as well, to just give him a hand, someone help him out in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not him. I mean, there's footage, I think, what's his name, the King on X, put out footage of Big Ewan being at half forward and the ball's transitioning, his first one back, trying to sprint back to stop a goal where he ran past about five players who just pretty much just stood in the middle of the ground and watched it all unfold. So, yeah, I mean, it's a big problem at the moment. And if I'm not too sure what the conversations are in private with Alistair Clarkson and the players, But I don't think it's much different to what he's shown in the media, because he's got to give supporters hope and sort of say, look, you know, what we're doing at the moment is unacceptable. We understand that we're a young team, but, you know, we're not getting, you know, the effort on occasions is pretty poor. And he's not really saying it. He's, you know, even in his press conference yesterday, he was quick to deflect the question about someone asking him about basic effort. It was a bit of a weird press conference, and you know, he's trying to give hope, sort of saying, comparing teams to the 1950s and 1970s, how they turned it around in 3 years to win a flag. That was a very different time, and I felt like he pretty much said, yeah, just stay patient, we'll be a good team in 3 years. Buying time for himself, I think. Siobhan, I feel like we have 3 years away from being 3 years away, because you keep putting up with this. Rival clubs will come in for your top players and take them. Then you were really screwed, more screwed than we are already.
Yeah. Look, it's obviously really hard to talk about, and we don't know what the future holds. But I would love 5 minutes with Alistair Clarkson to ask him a few questions behind closed doors, because you have to wonder whether or not when he took on this job, he knew that the list and the current situation was maybe as bad as what he thought it was. And it's funny, like, a few times this year he has looked quite lackluster and a little bit defeated himself in some of the press conferences. And I think he might be feeling the way some of the supporter base are feeling at the moment. And for the first time this week, it did feel a little bit like, how do I put this? It felt a little bit like the heat was going on him a little bit for some of his decisions and choices in game. I'm sure we'll touch on a little bit later, but I'm just a little confused as to what type of game plan we're playing at the moment. I think maybe he realised that North Ball wasn't going to suit this team because we were getting so heavily scored against the other way. But then the way we're playing at the moment looks a little bit weird. And at times the defence looks all at sea and I just can't quite see it. I'm not Alistair Clarkson. I'm not a three-time premiership coach. So I'm sure he's got it under control in some capacity, but it just felt like some of his choices were a bit weird, not playing Wardlaw. I scratched my head a little bit at his back in this week. We'll probably touch on it, but the balance of the side looks a little bit weird. No. Playing Combin in the forward line after he's been training in the back line all year and really looked good at the start of the game was a little bit odd for me. And there's been some instances where it's all been a little bit odd. Maybe he might be feeling a bit of the pressure himself and didn't quite realise how bad things have gotten. Maybe he, when he took on the job too, thought that some of our senior players wouldn't be as poor as they are now and that they would be the ones that would also maybe help him out a little bit. And they're not doing anyone a service at the moment with how poor they've been as well. But, yeah, the conversation around in 3 years' time or whenever it might be, things will turn around, we've got to stay the course. That's fine, and I think everyone will be staying the course, but I'd just like to know what the course is, how it'll play out, and what we're actually looking for when we watch the games, because at the moment, this is how I feel, and I don't speak for everyone, but I feel like there's not a lot to hang our hat on. There's not a lot of hope or excitement. It feels like everything's sort of regressed or stayed the same. And when does he expect to see things improve or change, or what's he saying to the players behind closed doors? Because at the moment, we do look a little bit all at sea, and it's quite frightening on the weekend for myself anyway, that Hawthorn were the other team that hadn't won a game, and we were at some stages like an 8-goal less side than them, which was, a little bit frightening. So it's going to be a while before things turn around, but maybe like him to be a little bit more transparent about that.
Yeah, I mean, we seem to be hanging our hat on a half a plate against Fremantle. It wasn't even a half, actually. It was about a quarter and a half. And, yeah, even last week we seemed to be holding our head on a Colby McKercher four bounce, breaking the line through the middle. I mean, we're not even talking about good quarters we're playing anymore. We're talking about individual moments. Which is a little bit of concern. And we hate being negative. We want to talk about more positive stuff. But that's where we're at the moment. And I'm pretty sure, Siobhan, even you would agree, that 18, 24 months ago, he said, when I took this job, I knew this is the position we'll be in. I find it hard to believe after winning your first two games in charge of the club, which is a long time ago now, that you think that, oh, we'll only win one more game out of our next 27. Surely he didn't think that at the time.
No. No, I don't believe so. I don't think he's going to publicly come out and say that. But I think,
yeah,
he probably didn't expect, you know, Ben Cunnington to maybe not be there. He probably expected Ben McKay to still be there. I mean, that's only two players.
Terrible.
I think he probably expected more, maybe more out of the likes of Simpkin and McDonald and some of the other more experienced heads at the club that are struggling at the moment. Some of the players, in my opinion, are struggling at the moment that are the leaders and the more experienced heads because they're being played in the wrong position. Like, I mean, Bailey Scott, please God, getting back on the wing. Like, there are certain things that I think can be improved with some positional changes. But I don't think that he'd be let down by his senior core as much as he has. And maybe he thought the list was better than what it is at the moment. And maybe the development side of things for some of these players is going to take time. Because that's still, in my opinion, a really big worry. Because the only way we're going to get out of the mess isn't by going and getting experienced players. They'll fill a gap and help out in the interim. But we need some of these younger players to grow and develop. And the way to do that is by having them in the right environment, which by getting some more experienced players could help. But we need to get this right. It's a critical stage right now because if the McKerchers and Dersmers and Wardlaws and Sheezels and these guys don't hang around or don't take the next step, then we're in more trouble or we'll be lower on the ladder for a lot longer. We can't worry about players leaving because I really love Frank's discussion with you on Tuesday in that he's not worried about it. He feels like it will happen. And at the end of the day, if you don't want to be at our club, you don't want to be at our club because it will be a few more years of pain. But, yeah, it's a tough watch at the moment. And maybe Clarko didn't realise it was as tough as it is at the moment.
Yeah. Now, I think even the most pessimistic person wouldn't have thought it would be this bad, especially after his first two games. And I understand there were circumstances, but we've all moved on from that. That changed last year. But, yeah, I think another thing that's really disappointing is the North ball. I mean, we were excited. You know, we talked about it. You talked about this just before. They were excited in pre-season about it. And I understand that he tried to work on the defensive side a bit, but we can't defend anyway. We're still conceding big scores. So why not at least, you know, look, I was telling you off air, I was starting to yawn in the last quarter because I was getting bored of watching the same shit of just hoofing the ball up the wing or up forward to Nick Larkey against four players. But, you know, if we're going to lose, at least keep us entertained for a bit, Siobhan.
Yeah, this is another really interesting discussion and I'm keen to get your thoughts on this as well because for me, North ball wasn't sustainable, but no. It was at times something that kept us in games or was quite exciting as well. It's really hard and I'm not a coach, but damn, it's like we've regressed even in our game plan. It's a really good point that you made in that it felt like I was going crazy watching us on the weekend because the ball just get pinged so quickly out of our forward line. And no. Without the pressure, it's in Hawthorn's forward line within 3 seconds. And you're like, well, how did that happen so quickly? And when there's no pressure coming from your defenders and no pressure coming from the forward line and the mids are mid at the moment in many ways, it's hard to watch. But at least North ball was exciting and kept us in games. But the flip side of playing that way is that we get scored against. But playing the way we're playing at the moment, which is like not exciting, not fast, bomb it into our players inside forward 50, get rebounded out of there and give our, I wouldn't even call it a defence at the moment, give our players that are up there basically no chance anyway of defending it. It's just, it's worse. It looks worse. And it's not even giving us some exciting moments. The most exciting moment on the weekend was Colby McKercher taking the game on. Hello? Exciting things happen when you take the game on, right?
Yeah.
So it's really in a bit of no man's land at the moment. Maybe Clarko's realised as well. He doesn't quite have the cattle to play the game solely wants to at the moment. So he's like, well, I've got to protect the defence. The forward line is still, in my opinion, not working very well. It's still very dysfunctional. So we're just doing our best to do whatever we're doing at the moment. But North Ball works for periods of time, and I'd rather lose in an exciting way than lose painfully, if that makes any sense. Are you in the same boat?
Oh, 100%. Look, I'd rather lose copping 150, 160 points to 100 rather than losing, you know, 100 to 50 or 100 to 60. Like, I mean, at least give yourself half a chance that you, if you score 100 points. It was similar to that Gold Coast game last year. We played the North Ball. That's when it all started. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we won that game. Well, you know, and it's easy for me to say, yeah, we won that game. Just play like that all the time. Teams work you out. I understand that. But you got players like Zach Fisher, you know, Colby McKercher behind the ball, Harry Sheasel. Use them to their strengths. You know, get the overlap happening. You know, I mean, they've got, you know, there's a bit of pace there. If you're going to play Zach Fisher the way you're playing him now, it's a waste of time because he can't defend anyone. So, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's it. So, yeah.
It's very true. And I think in many ways, we're looking for small positives at the moment. Mm-hmm. We're looking for little nuggets that players are holding on to as well. And if we're trying to sell hope and excitement to the playing list, playing that way also gives a little bit of that, because you can show some vision where it's like, look what we did here. If we can just build our way into doing this for three or four quarters instead of one or two, then that's the vision that you can show that gets people up and about. But at the moment, it's very strange because we're just not able to defend at all. Every line of the ground's not able to defend. It was so strange at times watching how weird that was, that the players were so far off their man when it got inside 50, but nobody is doing anyone a service up there by the way we're playing up the ground as well. So, it's a little bit odd to watch at the moment. And I how good was that first half against Freo, Dean? Like, we are hanging our hat so far on that half against Freo, but or quarter and a half. But, yeah, it was exciting footy and everyone was up and about, and it's just – I find it so hard to believe how much we've regressed in a couple of rounds of footy.
We keep saying that we're sinking to new lows, but we seem to find a way of sinking to even lower lows each week at the moment, which is really disappointing. So, yeah, well, we'll go to team changes this week. Are you happy with the team changes? I mean, we've got a debut of Riley Hardiman, a halfback flanker. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been setting the world on fire in the reserves, but he's come in for his debut. And George Wardwell comes back from his rest or dropped. Eddie Ford out injured. He did get subbed out last week, so it'll probably just be a one-week thing, I think. And Tyler Sellers, unfortunately, omitted. What do you think about the team changes?
Yeah, keen to get your thoughts on this one too, because I really liked Jesse's bold calls on Tuesday. And they were great to listen to. I didn't think all of them would happen. There's no chance that we were dropping McDonald and Simpkin, but quite staggering to me that Luke McDonald continues to play in this side as a leader that's providing no leadership and really nothing out on the ground. But I think we all know where my thoughts with him lie, so that might be a little bit of bias coming in there as well. But I like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I just think players that are underperforming won't get dropped because of how bare everything for us is at the moment. So selection integrity is a really hard thing at North Melbourne at the moment. I'm sad for Tyler Sellers. I understand it. I probably saw it coming because you can't perform as poorly as he has the last couple of weeks and keep the spot. But at the same time, I think it would have been nice to let him at least have a few more weeks to see where he's at. It's bloody hard playing in our forward line at the moment, and it's hard for the likes of Nick Larkey, who's an All-Australian, let alone someone that's just starting their career. So also sad for Eddie Ford. I think he's been a real shining light this year, and hopefully the injury's not a significant one. And good on Riley Hardiman. It's a good news story. Let's get up and about something. And really great to see him get his opportunity. High draft pick from last year. He's a West Australian lad. Got some pace about him. Looks like he's got good foot skills. Plays off half back. Can create the play really nicely. So hopefully he has a great debut game. And Wardlaw's back in. And it's funny, like I mentioned last week, I don't think Will Phillips will keep his spot in the side because he just doesn't do enough for mine. So I thought that the automatic selection would be Wardlaw back in the side. But now we've got a situation here where we've got Wardlaw and Phillips playing in the side. And then Hardiman comes in. But the problem there is, does Sheasel now move into the midfield with Hardiman playing off half back more than likely? But then if Sheasel goes into the midfield, then we've got too many players in there. So the list for this weekend looks a little bit imbalanced, and it would be really interesting to see where some of these players play. Maybe Fisher plays in the forward line and Hardiman takes his spot off half back. I think there'll be some really interesting movements, which it will be exciting to watch. Hopefully Clarko takes some risks, play some plays in different positions, because we have nothing to lose. We really have nothing to lose. So put Scott back on a wing. I think that's got to happen. Try some different moves. Why not have Dersma on another wing, see how he goes there. Get him involved in the game a little bit. I think he's really struggling at the moment playing as that half forward. So get his confidence back up and get him, let him be around the ball a bit more. There are certainly a few things that can happen that will hopefully excite us supporters. I would have liked a few more changes in terms of not wholesale change, but some more statements made. But for where we're at the moment, I think it was interesting, some of the moves, but I think it was probably predicted. How about for yourself? What are you thinking of the team?
I would have liked a senior player dropped out of the team just to make a statement. I think it's long overdue. Whether it was like someone like Aiden Corr, I mean, he wasn't awful last week, but I would have dropped Luke McDonald for the standards. These standards are good enough that you're meeting. Maybe start Luke Davis Uniac as a sub this week just to tell him, look, some of your efforts last week wasn't good enough. I mean, I know that's a big statement and a lot of people will disagree with me and they'll probably call me a dickhead and so forth, but just make a statement that some of your efforts are not good enough and you're not going to just coast through games. He kind of is at the moment and playing selfish football. We get possessions, so it doesn't really matter. Darcy Tucker, you've got to play. I mean, any chance you get, you've got to play Darcy Tucker. There's no doubt about that. Even Azurha. He looks okay in the midfield, and he puts in some efforts, but sometimes he's you wouldn't even know he's out on the football field. So that's what I would have done, just make a statement with one player. But and it might follow through. Dennis Pagan used to do that a lot. I remember one day he started Shannon Grant, Byron Pickett, and a couple of other senior players all on the bench for the first 10, 15 minutes of the game, and it responded. And they responded by getting a win against a good team. I can't even remember who it was against, but, just little things like that can make a big difference and, improve an effort because at the moment we're on the treadmill of mediocrity and, I can't see it changing too much. I mean, where do you think I'm gonna lose my shit if Charlie Coleman starts forward this week. Do you think he starts forward, or would you like to see him?
That's a really interesting question. Because when you look at the forward half, the only real target there, other than Larkey, when you're looking at a tall, is Zerha, who plays as a medium. So.
Yeah.
It makes me think that Comben will play forward because unless Clarko wants Larky basically as the only man down there, which serves no purpose for him and no purpose for the side to only have one tall target. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen as much as I think it's the wrong move considering he's played all preseason there. And how good did he start on the weekend? Like he just reads the play really well, takes great intercept marks, provides a lot of effort and I think he's building into it really nicely. So I'd be disappointed to see that disrupted. But in saying that too, like, where's Toby Pink, Dean? Like, personally, I think having Toby Pink instead of Biggie Newen is the right move because Pink's got a bit more size and a bit more what's the right term? He's got a bit more grit about him as well. I didn't think he was playing that badly before he got dropped, and we haven't seen him since. And Biggie for mine is a little bit too slight. Not his fault. He's young and he'll grow into his frame. But I think Pink's at least a bit more experienced and a bigger body down in the back line. On the weekend, I thought Biggie was looked at times confused and really struggled. And that's not his fault. It's the fact that there's his inner side that is having a lot of inside 50s going his way. And he's young and inexperienced. Yeah. But I think Pink's the better option, and I just wonder where he's at in the frame of things at the moment too. And even Jackson Archer, I would have liked to have seen him get a run. And he's not in the side either. So there's two there, but I'd love to know where Toby Pink's at and why maybe they've gone Biggie instead of him, just with the size difference between the two players at least. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Condon plays. Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Taylor Walker, Darcy Fogarty as your two big key forwards, and you can't put Biggie Nguyen on one of them. So it makes me think that Condon will start back on Fogarty and Core will play on Taylor Walker. Because you can't, there's no one else, is there? Like, you can't play Biggie Nguyen. Their bodies are too big. You might play, like, Biggie could play on a smaller player, maybe like a Soligo or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's.
Does Biggie play forward?
He probably could, but I don't know if they will. Look, I like him. Like, he shows a little bit. Like, I mean, there's a couple of incidents last week where he got lost a couple of times and, yeah, he struggled a bit. But he's a young kid, and we're not going to, you know, have a go at a young kid for, you know, having a go out there. So, yeah, but, yeah, I mean, we need another forward to help Nick Larkey. Cameron Zerha seems to be struggling. And there's no one else. No. I mean, we've got a bunch of mid-size forwards. Do you think Harry Sheezel might play forward this week?
Yeah, it's a good question because the side at the moment looks incredibly imbalanced. It's like a list altogether. So if you're going to drop Sellers and Ford's injured, you're bringing in a midfielder and a half-back. So they'll have to put someone in there. And it's probably not going to be another tool unless Common goes down there or Biggie. So it just means Larky once again is probably going to get mauled. So it's unfortunate, but I do think it'll either be Sheezel or Fisher that'll play as a small up there and help out the likes of Paul Curtis and Zerha and some of the others that rotate through there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. I think the Zach Fisher at halfback experiment has to be over. I do think he'll be serviceable as a small forward. And it's not like he's doing anything particularly wrong, but he hasn't been great off halfback. And I think now that we've brought in Hardiman, the options up there are there's plenty of running halfbacks that can provide play that can't defend necessarily one-on-one. So that's probably why I think Fisher might be the one that goes forward. I'm so keen to see Clarko release Harry Sheezel in the midfield. So we'll see what happens this week. But it certainly looks like we've got quite a few players to rotate through there. So hopefully it's not just the likes of Powell, LDU and Simpkin and Wardlaw that are through there. It's other players as well.
Well, I don't think Simpkin will play midfield this week. I mean, look at the midfield. Look at all the players I'm going to name here because you can't fit them all in. Luke Davies-Junior, Colby McKercher, George Wardlaw, Will Phillips, Tom Powell. Jai Simpkin, Harry Sheezel, Cameron Zerha. They can all go through there, but you probably only play four or five through there. It makes me think that Will Phillips will be the sub this week. So, yeah, it's like you said, it's not just an imbalanced list. It's a very imbalanced team. I mean, it's a very small side, which makes me think that we'll try and run and gun this week, Siobhan.
You're probably right, Dean. You're probably right, and I hope that's the case. The issue being when they go to deliver the ball inside 50, unfortunately, what's happened to Nick Larkey throughout his career has just been amplified. Unfortunately, we're not going to see CCJ for the rest of the year with the Achilles, and they've decided to not persist with Sellers for the time being. So when they deliver it inside 50, it's going to have to be a damn good kick to a small, or Larkey is going to have to provide a contest against one, two, three defenders as the only likely tall down there. And we're going to need to see some improvement in leadership from Cam Zohar down in the forward line this week too, for us to be able to kick a maybe not a winning score, but a score that's competitive against a fairly quality side.
Yeah, I mean, on a positive note, I mean, Paul Curtis has been really good this year. If he was in a decent team, he would have 20-plus goals right now. He has looked, superb. I think he might play, like Larky might push up the ground a little bit, and they might try and isolate him a bit one-on-one. He reminds me a lot of Lindsay Thomas, that one-on-one inside 50. He's a very 100%. Good player. Yeah, and he's someone to hold our hat on, isn't he?
I could talk about him all night because I think he's improving. He's growing in confidence, and I think he's undersold how good of a contested mark he is.
Yeah.
Like he's got the full package. The only thing that he might be lacking a little bit of is that real forward pressure. But the role he's playing at the moment, he's as a small forward, he's giving us 2-3 goals every week. He's competing. He's having a dip. He's a really good set shot on goal. Strong overhead mark. He is such a good find for the pick that he went in the draft as well. Good lad from the Western Suburbs. I think he is a real gem for us and a player that will certainly be part of, in my opinion, the next premiership side as a small forward because he's dangerous. You can rely on him and he's been consistent all year. So that's another real big tick for him. And, I just love the way he goes about it. And he's got a really good song as well when he kicks a goal at Marvel. So I always look forward to when he kicks a goal because it's quite entertaining.
Yeah. It's a bit like that GWS forward. He's got a funny song. I can't remember his name. I can't remember his name. He's got a good song, though. He starts singing to it and dancing to it. And he kicks a goal. He's kicked about 15 goals this year. I'll get his name one day anyway. But What's that?
Is it Brent Daniels?
He's a mid-sized forward. He's kicked a few goals, but it doesn't matter. What about Colby McKercher? Where do you think he might play this week? They've tried him in the midfield. He seems a bit light at the moment. I didn't mind him as a half-back flanker, to be honest with you, when he's behind the ball. What about yourself? Would you like to see him push up the field, or are you still wanting behind the ball at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's a good question because, personally, I think it'll come to a point soon where he might need a bit of a rest. He copped that big hit with his ribs, not last week, the week before. And yes, I know it's been spoken about a lot, but that passage of play where he took the game on and basically ran the length of the field and hit Paul Curtis with a beautiful pass. Fortunately, he couldn't finish it off and kick us a goal, but that passage of play was incredibly exciting from him. And I think that's what he does best from all reports, why we love him and why he went so high in the draft is that he's got good footy smarts, got a bit of speed about him, good kick, penetrating kick, and makes good choices. So I think that's why Clarko wanted to play him off halfback. When he's played in the midfield, he's still very slight, and you got to be really careful with that sort of stuff that they don't get disheartened that they're getting pushed off the ball or that they're not quite at the level of the cauldron of the midfield yet. So I think where he is at the moment off half back is not bad, but I think he does need to continue to have stints through the middle because he does provide something when he's in there, but I don't think he's ready to play a full game through there. Are you in the same boat?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, no, he's probably a fair way from playing a full game in the middle. Yeah, I don't mind the balance they've given him at the moment. They're trying him in the midfield because he does give good drive out of there. So, I think his skills are okay. He does butcher it occasionally. It's probably not as good as I thought. But, he does give you a lot of run and carry through the middle. I mean, we got that highlight last week, and that's what he's capable of. He certainly does back his pace in, and he's very quick. So, you wouldn't mind a couple of him, to be honest with you. But, there's a lot of talent there. I mean, I'd even like to see him forward on occasions because he can add a bit of pace up there. But, yeah, we'll see how we go. So, in saying all this, what do you want to see this week? Like, I mean, a win would be nice, but I don't know if we'll get that. But outside of that, what do you want to see this week? I mean, we've talked a lot about effort. I mean, I guess that's a bare minimum, but anything else?
Yeah, look, I've had a long, hard think about it, and to be honest, I think I've also reevaluated how I watch each game. I can guarantee you that I'm not expecting to win a game for the whole year. There's no chance I'm going into the game. I get another game in the frame of mind I did against Hawthorn, because I will just leave the ground as disappointed as I was on the weekend. So I'm reframing things a little bit, and I think I'd like to see us, like we spoke about a little bit in the podcast tonight, that we play a little bit of North ball, or at least give a bit more exciting moments of play rather than the few we've had in the last few weeks. I think it would be nice to see a little bit of leadership out on the ground, at least like identifying that a bit more. And like we are performing as a team, and there's a little bit more cohesion as the weeks go on, including this week. I'd like to see some players tried in different positions. Try Fisher forward. Do some different things. Put Bailey Scott back on a wing, for crying out loud. Like, there are a few different things that we can try with players in different positions that could surprise the opposition, or even surprise us as supporters, how well they go there. And I just want to see us tackle and pressure the opposition and look like we care more than maybe we did last week. And I know that's a big statement, and I think they all care, but I just want to see a four-quarter effort so that we're not coming on next week and saying, you know, at times the player didn't chase or they didn't do this. So it's going to be a long slog, and I think Adelaide are a really good side, but there are slowly things that we can do and look at implementing as the year goes on, that at least I wouldn't walk away from this week and say, we had a dip, we tried, I'm proud of them, we didn't get the result, but did you see how good Colby McKerchill looked in his time when he was in the middle, or whatever it might be? So just those sorts of things, I think, is what I'll be looking for this week. Are you the same, Dean?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, Adelaide Crows, I mean, you sort of said they're a good team. Well, they've only won one game as well. So it's a good opportunity to play them. I mean, they're better than what they are. Yeah, they're probably better than a one win team and five loss. But at the end of the day, I just want to see, you know, just better. Like, I mean, I want to see better effort. But, like, not just one effort. Like, I want to see players two, three, four efforts. I think Jackson Archer would have been a good in this week, because he is, his old man was a, you know, true shin bone, and he's got that quality in him. I would have liked to see someone a bit more, someone that's really desperate, that throws everything at it each week. So, I mean, if I see, you know, some players that, walk off the ground and, you know, they're breathing hard and, you know, they've given everything they've got, then I'll be satisfied. But too often, they look like some players are coasting at the moment. And, that's where we're at, unfortunately. But, a win's a fair way away, but, you know, it can happen. You know, I didn't think we were going to win round 23 or round 24, whatever it was last year, and we won quite comfortably. I think I don't think it's as bad as, yeah, what we're showing at the moment. We're a better team than what we're showing, and we've got to start. We can't get any worse at the end of the day. I wouldn't think so, but I keep saying that, but we seem to find a new way. So, we'll see how we go. So, in saying all that, what's your final prediction for the game this weekend?
Yeah, look, I think Adelaide will win, and I think they'll win pretty comfortably. It is in Tassie, which gives us a real opportunity. We do still love playing down there, and it is our home game, so we have an advantage. So I do think, I think we'll be competitive, but I think Adelaide will win and win quite well. The other thing that I would like us to maybe try and arrest is when a team gets a run on. Like, I don't want to see another 9-goal quarter, for example. So, I, in saying all that, I think Adelaide will win, but I'm hopeful that it won't be in the way where it's like we see Adelaide kick 8-9 in a row. Let's try and arrest those real big bad patches in our game, and hopefully we can be competitive this weekend. And hopefully we have some more positive moments that we can talk about next week. But in saying all that, I think Adelaide will win.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen that with West Coast. I mean, their first couple of rounds were shocking, and they were talking about priority picks. And then they put in a really good effort against the Swans, and they worked out a few things, and they fixed a couple more things up, and they've won two in a row. So it can change very quickly. I'm not going to write the season off just yet. I mean, we've only played six games. And, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a bit of excitement. So you never know, Siobhan. And we are in Tassie, and we used to have a good record there. We don't have a good record anywhere we play at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it now, and Adelaide Crows have scored less points than we have this year, which is quite extraordinary for the forward. Yeah, they've only scored 403 points in six games this year. So I find that extraordinary. They haven't conceded much, but, I mean, we've scored 413 but conceded 724. Yeah, it's a bit bizarre. They might put a cricket score against us, but yeah, I mean, we seem to find a way of putting players back into form. So,
unfortunately,
I know it seems to be a common theme every week. I remember when we played Geelong, I was with a Geelong mate, and he sort of said, "Oh, Jeremy Cameron's starting to find some form today." I go, "Yeah, that'll be right." it is what it is. Anyway, Siobhan, that's all I have for you, unless you wanted to add anything else.
No, Dean, it's always a pleasure having a chat with you, and hopefully one day soon we're coming on here after a win. Hopefully it's this weekend. I might be sounding crazy saying that, but hopefully we put in a better performance, and things will turn. It's just going to take time, and maybe we've just got to lower expectations a little bit. But go Roos. Hopefully it's a better week for us, and thanks again.
I think we'll surprise a team this year. Like, I think we'll beat a team or two. Like, I don't think we'll go winless. And I'm hoping it's this week. So I'm going to go for a win. I don't care. I'm going to even put money on it. So, yeah, why not? Even though I've been negative the whole podcast. I think we'll do the opposite. So, yeah, the George Costanza opposite. So, yeah, anyway, Siobhan, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm sure I'll chat to you next week. And like you said, hopefully it's after a win or a better performance.
Thanks, Dean. Go, Roos.
So thank you very much to Siobhan Rowe for coming on once again. Always a pleasure to chat with her on Thursday. Always look forward to it. Anyways, that's it for tonight. So thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all pulled out for the show. It is so much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you can tell your friends, leave a rating and review, do all that fun stuff to help the show grow, that would be much appreciated. So I'll probably be back either next Monday or Tuesday to review our performance against the Adelaide Crows, hoping that we can put in a really good performance. I'm thinking we're going to win. I've got a feeling we're going to win on Saturday. So get on us. I'm going to put money on it. Everyone else put money on it. We're going to win. We're going to win quite comfortably. Four plus goals. I might be delusional. I probably am. I've had an ice bath today, and yeah, it's probably rendered my brain to stupid levels. I can't even speak English at the moment. That's how well I'm going. I better end this podcast. It was a long podcast, so I hope you all enjoyed it. So bye for now, and go Roos.